broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You got to clear the old the pipes, man. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and humor, funny, laughter just might very well be her sister. We also have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard on with us tonight during our news and information hour. We're going to have Dr. Ron Tarner to talk with us here this first hour. I thought it was very interesting. It was pointed out to me by Dan Northcraft, our technical director, that the glaciers in Greenland, the glaciers in Greenland may not be melting as quickly as first presumed. However, it is all about how the news is reported. If you look at some other sources, it'll say, yes, those glaciers are still melting. But are they melting as fast? Dr. Ron Tarner, who is a climate change expert, he's also an astronomer at Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado, is going to be on with us in just a couple of minutes. World-famous Phil Hendry Show is online as well, folks. Our online home is philhendryshow.com. We invite you to join us at philhendryshow.com. And pick up a backstage pass and watch right now our live streaming video of the show. We've got video casts that we call Phil TV in HD. And we sure as heck would love to have you with us. So join us over there, philhendryshow.com. It also gives you access to thousands of hours of archive material. And I mean thousands of hours, as well as all of our video archives, as well as other specialties and little fun surprises. philhendryshow.com. 877-876-PHIL is our number as well. And with us here is Ron Tarner from Dr. Ron Tarner from Denver this evening. Ron, how are you doing?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on the broadcast here at late notice.
Well, I'm glad you were able to do it. I really am. And I know that you're at a function this evening for it's a testimonial, right?
It is a testimonial Kirk and his brother Dave Johnson as well. Both of these guys they did such yeoman work for us, Phil, in the early days of our studies on climate change. And they're both retiring, and we were very honored to be with them, I can tell you that.
Well, I want to talk with you about climate change tonight, specifically the news that we got today about the glaciers in Greenland. And that the rate of their evaporation or melting may not be as fast or as rapid as was once thought. What do you have to say about that? What's your first impression of that?
Well, my first impression of that news is the same first impression that I've had of news like that for the last 25 years, Phil. That's how long I've been studying the effects of global climate change, and my reaction is it's very unfortunate that news they keep wanting to report that despite the fact that there are a great many men like myself, and I just mentioned these gentlemen, David Johnson and Kirk Johnson, both great climate change experts, and other doctors and other scientists and other people that have done work.
Well, in other words, is it true? Is it not true?
The fact is, global climate change is real. It is caused by man. It's going to get worse if we don't do something about it. And that's what the point is.
What of these stories, though, about the glaciers in Greenland, or the icebergs, I should say?
The stories of the Greenland icebergs, you can read those on your radio show if you want, Phil, and you can have as much fun as you want with those. But the story is this. Global climate change, global warming is real. And it will continue unabated unless we do something about it, and I mean very, very soon. It may already be too late.
It may already be too late, meaning what?
Meaning that to keep the coastlines, the integrity of our coastlines, to maintain the integrity of those coastlines wherever there are, where there's development, human development, human habitation, or commercial development, it may be too late to maintain the integrity of all of those coastlines, given the warming of the seawaters and the melting of those icebergs.
It's all right. So I would have to then, and we're talking to Dr. Ron Tarner from Mountain Meadow Observatory on the most recent report.
Phil, I would not give it even the dignity of calling it a report. It's not a report. It's more along the lines of what you would see in a tabloid newspaper, I think.
And can I read it to you?
Yes, you can read it to me. I want you to just remember one thing. Coming on your program tonight, or whenever I talk to anybody, I'm a scientist. I'm a doctor. I've studied this problem. I don't need any more education when it comes to this.
I understand.
I don't need any more education on what's happening. So, therefore, when you say, can you read it to me, I'm more than happy to listen to you, but I'm going to listen to you, Phil, so that, I can be polite, and I won't be rude, and I'll hear what you have to say. But it's an irritating experience for me, is what I'm saying.
Well, all right, I don't want to irritate you. Now, I know that you have, and you are at a function, it's a celebration.
No, I'm very happy to take the time, but I did not anticipate taking the time to come on a radio program and be irritated and bothered by more of these gnats. And I'm not saying it's you, Phil. I'm saying more of these bats and these flies buzzing around with their, climate change doesn't exist.
Well, all right, here's the story. Like so many of climate science, or like so much of climate science, the latest insight from the frozen world of Greenland offers one of those good news, bad news outlooks for the future of the world's oceanfront real estate.
All right, right there. Can I stop you?
Go ahead.
Like so much of climate science, what that reporter is saying is, like so much of climate science, good news, bad news, it's a very fuzzy, very confused, and it's not a certain science. And that's an insult to me, to these gentlemen that we're honoring tonight, to the thousands of men and women the world over that have worked on climate science.
And all right, well, let me just read this.
Go ahead, but that right there, the first line you read, was as if they walked right up to me and to all of the scientists working on this and dug pretty deep down in the lung and hocked up phlegm.
All right. I mean, if you're calling this the brazen insult...
It's absolutely a brazen insult.
I will understand that. I just want to finish reading that. I know that, that these things anger you. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a part of that community. I know that there are competitive temperaments.
Yeah, but Phil, this is not about my ego. It's not about my ego. This is about the science having integrity, and these gnats, as I call them, these little buzzing climate science reporters, and this is Alaska, did you say?
Yeah, it's called the Alaska Dispatch.
Well, my God, Alaska is the headquarters of people that have turned a blind eye to this. They don't want to believe. That's the headquarters of, the dumbbells of America that come to the climate science. And I don't mean anything about Alaska, but look at the governor that they had.
All right, well, let me finish this. A decade-long eye-in-the-sky study of nearly 200 major outlet glaciers found that they haven't been tumbling into the ocean with the same dramatic acceleration once feared.
That is an absolute filthy lie. And the numbers I've got,
in comparison, what would you say? What numbers do you have? Well, let me finish this.
Yeah, finish this story. I've got all kinds of numbers. I could read them off to you. And you have to understand, it's not going to be anything you're going to understand. It's not going to be anything your listeners will be able to comprehend. But I can tell you that is a filthy lie. And
all right, here is...
Continue to read it.
All right. That it says a decade-long eye-in-the-sky study of nearly 200 major outlet glaciers found that they haven't been tumbling into the ocean with the same dramatic acceleration once feared, and that means these colossal rivers of ice might not contribute as much to catastrophic sea level rise as predicted by some worst-case scenarios.
That's the kind of news that you write when you live in Alaska. That's all I'm going to say about that.
So when we come back, let's talk a little bit, though, about your studies and what you have found.
Yeah, that's fine, Phil, but I don't want to get too deep into that, because what's going to happen is, again, I'm a scientist and a doctor, and I want to say it once. I don't want to go around and around and around.
All right, hold on. Let me take our break.
All right.
We're talking to Dr. Ron Tarner, who's at the testimonial for Drs. Kirk and David Johnson, both of them climate science specialists in Denver. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Some reports say that glaciers are not melting as fast as once feared, that they may not be contributing to the sea level rise. Dr. Tarner says it's all a lie, that the sea levels are rising, that climate change is, unless addressed more strenuously than it has been, disaster awaits. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Did they really? 877-876-PHIL.
Well, I mean, what did you think about that? But you said, did they really? I know that we're on a radio show.
Well, we're live on the air now, Ron, okay?
I'm sorry, but I...
go ahead, finish your thought.
Well, I was upset with the response that I got from the Stephen Hawking people when I said, I feel bad for Dr. Hawking, that he suffers from the ACL that he does, and that he has Lou Gehrig's disease. But when he shows up for a function, to deliver a paper, when he shows up for a dinner, and he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 women, all of them 20 years younger than him, all of them right out of the pages of Playboy magazine, I said it's just... he's trying to rub it in. He's trying to... Well...
I mean, what can I say? This has been an issue for you.
Yes, it is an issue for me. Yes, it is.
It's been an issue for you for a long time. I don't know anything about... you know Dr. Hawking. You know him better than I do or anybody. If Dr. Stephen Hawking... What do the other doctors think? What are the other...
What do you mean the other doctors?
Well, the other professionals.
Well, I think they're all abused. I tell them to look past the charm and the jokes. And it's funny when you talk about Stephen Hawking. He's in a wheelchair. He can't move. He's speaking using a joystick that he has in his mouth. And that I've made some very good jokes about that. No one laughs. So the fact that he's charming and he gets all these very, very beautiful women and makes all the jokes by way of a computer screen.
All right, why don't we not talk about Stephen Hawking and...
I don't want to. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry I brought it up, Phil.
Let's get back to... I just read to Dr. Tarner, and welcome back to the show here. Our number, folks, 877-876-7445. And we're talking to Ron Tarner about the global climate change, situation, and the most recent a story in, it made national news. The one that I'm reading is from the Alaska Dispatch, which says that the glaciers of Greenland may not be melting as fast as once believed. It says that they may not, therefore, be contributing to as dramatic a rise in the global sea levels as once believed. And that, therefore, perhaps, Dr. Tarner, global warming, global climate change is not the threat that we thought it was.
Right. And I respectfully disagree. And I say respectfully because the assault that has been mounted by the anti-global climate change cabal on hardworking scientists like myself... And the assault takes the form of this. Oh, there's a news story at the Boise Bugle or whatever you want to call it. And look at this. It says that the global melting ice at the glaciers is not going as fast. And what they did is they took a story from someplace and they decided to lie. They decided to lie.
How can you just out and out lie?
Because people let them lie. People have the readers, yourself, Phil, and not you necessarily, but talk show hosts, they want to believe it, so they just lie.
And are you saying that this is not true?
I told you, it's, in my opinion, a filthy lie that is promulgated by these global, anti-global warming people.
And to what end?
What is that?
To what end? Why would they, everyone says the science is settled, such as yourself, why would these people come along and continually lie?
To embarrass, to humiliate, to watch men such as myself with a reputation, with a following of people read my papers internationally. And I think some people get a dirty, cheap kick seeing me have to go on a radio show and explain over and over again how I've got a college degree, how I am not, a fraud, how I, I know how to walk and chew gum at the same time, how I am a normal functioning man with all of my brain, because I'm telling you, the way they report this global science, the anti-global warming people would have you believe that Dr. Ron Tarter or any of the other climate scientists, we were born with our brains outside of our skulls or with our internal organs exposed. Or
well, I've never heard anybody individually characterized, you know.
Well, you don't have to. That's what's going on, though. Believe me.
All right, reading on. Some climate studies have previously suggested that Greenland's coastal glaciers were poised to produce enough fresh water to raise the global sea level, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, by 2.5 to 6.5 feet over the next 90 years. That means within a...
Within a century. My prediction is much sooner. You could cut that in half.
50 years.
No, I said, Phil, you could cut it in half. God.
90 years, 45 years. I beg your pardon.
It's 90 years. It's not 100 years.
90 years, 45 years. But their tidewater meltdown, if it doesn't speed up beyond the rates seen during the past 10 years, will likely deliver a sea level boost measured in inches rather than feet.
That's the filth of that.
All right, hold on. So they're saying that it is not, the global warming that we're experiencing is not as dramatic as thought as was once thought, that the sea level will rise and by inches, not feet. What do you provide as a counter to this for people who want to seriously study this?
I will tell you, Phil, that I have worked a great many years on this topic, and so have other scientists. And I know what I'm talking about, and I am a doctor. Let me ask you a question, Phil.
I understand that, but...
No, let me ask you a question, if I could. Just one question.
Go ahead.
In front of my name are two letters. What are they?
D-R.
D-R. D-R. And that stands for what?
Doctor.
All right. In front of your name, what is there?
Mister?
Well, please take this seriously.
I am taking you seriously. What do you mean?
What's in front of your name other than Mister?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing. I don't degrade. I think you're a tremendous talk show host, Phil, and a great entertainer. But you don't have doctor in front of your name. I do. And so when I talk about global warming being real and being a threat, an immediate threat to you and your loved ones, and you, not you, but others would say, don't worry about it, Phil, because we just saw the glaciers aren't melting as fast. And you die of skin cancer. Your children die of horrible, gaping, ulcerated wounds on their skin. As the result...
Oh, come on, man. Are you saying within our lifetime?
Have you ever heard of the ozone layer? You've heard of that, haven't you?
Yeah.
Well, what do you think's happening to it?
All right, I understand that, but I also understand that we've taken steps to modify the rate of the ozone layer diminishing.
You talk a good game. We've taken steps. We've taken steps to modify. Again, what's in front of your name is a large, empty space. what's in front of my name.
It's a DR. I understand. We'll be right back. We have to take a break. 877-876-PHIL. Dr. Turner says global warming's real. We're in immediate danger. And these people that say the glaciers aren't melting are lying. 877-876-7445. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Stick around.
Have I got time to get a drink? Or
yeah,
Phil
go
Phil Hendry.
I gotta go to the bathroom, too, if I can find the can.
And welcome back here at world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Dr. Ron Turner from the Mountain Meadow Observatory, although he's in Denver tonight, and they are feeding two of their colleagues, Kirk Johnson and David Johnson. Right, Ron?
That is correct. In fact, Kirk is just receiving he just got his award, and now they're going to have some cocktails, I guess. And they have a jazz piano player, and I enjoy it. My ex-wife is here, which makes it a little uncomfortable. But
why? You don't have good relations with her?
No, we have good relations, but Susan is very popular in the in this community. She's not a scientist herself, but she was always, everyone looked forward to seeing her, and I think it's because she dressed in a manner that I didn't particularly appreciate, although I liked the way she looked in the privacy of our own home. She's singing now. I don't believe it. Oh, my God.
What happened?
My wife is up singing with this band. I don't believe it. She's got to be drunk. She's got to be drunk.
I'm sorry. Is it something you have to...
No. I'll stay with... Hold on. Let me talk to Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, get her up. She's singing, yeah. I don't care what you think she looks like. I don't like her standing up there showing it off. She's wearing something tonight. My wife looks good, okay? She looks really good tonight.
She's got a problem with booze, huh?
What'd you say, Phil?
She's got a problem with booze.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Big problem with booze. Look at that. She's got such a great looking... She likes to stand up there.
Are you going to be distracted by this?
No, I'm not distracted by anything. Look, she's my ex-wife, okay? My ex-wife. What I was saying was that the global climate change and the big ass...
What did you say?
Nothing. The big butt. The global climate change community that I am a part of scientists... And the fact that we all have this round ass.
You know, you are super distracted by whatever is happening. And
no, I'm fine, Phil.
Let me take a phone call.
Take a phone call and let me just... Can you just give me 2 minutes?
You got to stay with the show or we're going to move on.
All right, I'll just 30 seconds.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Let's go to R.C. in Altadena, California. R.C., how are you?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I'm doing really good, and I'm really, really, and I'm really thankful on the show that you're having tonight, because we are studying global science right now at the Academy, and I wanted to say to Dr. Tarnman that we're very much, I'm a very big, I'm a little bit nervous, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Dr. Turner is not... on the line right now.
Oh, I just want to say that I'm very much an admirer of Dr. Turner's. We've read two of his papers in our climate science class, and we do study him and some of the other ones too.
Okay, well, RC, did you have a comment that you wanted to make? Now you're a cadet at a military academy.
Yes, sir.
Okay, but you're still taking your sciences. You're taking your high school classes.
Well, we're a college preparatory program of the high school, yes, sir.
Okay.
No, I'm back, though. I apologize. I asked one of my friends is here, Jill Wolverton, and I asked her, I said, would you get Susan off of that bandstand before I do something that I will regret maybe for the rest of my life.
I didn't know it's that serious. If you want to get going...
No, I'm fine, but you get distracted. I just said to Jill, and I think that... Yeah, good. Thank you, Jill. Thank you. Thank you. Jill, thank you. Bless him.
I can't hold on any longer, Doctor. I have a show to do.
I'm sorry. Jill, thank you very... Jill! Me. Thank you. Yeah. It's amazing. But I said either she gets off that bandstand or I will do something that I will regret for the rest of my life. And she's not on there, so...
That's a very dangerous and scary thing to say. You have a fan of yours on the line.
I'm sorry?
There's a fan of yours on the line. R.C., go ahead.
Yes, sir, Dr. Turner. My name is R.C. Collins. I'm a cadet at Bradley Military Academy. We've read your papers in our climate science class, and I'm really nervous to talk to you. I think you've done some great work, sir, and I thank you on behalf of a lot of students across the country.
I appreciate that very much, R.C. And what is your school?
Yes, sir, it's Bradley Military Academy.
Okay.
And it's a college preparatory.
Okay, I understand that. And you're preparing for go to one of the four-year military colleges, correct?
Yes, sir. I'm hoping to enroll at West Point following my senior year.
I appreciate very much you. Which one of my papers?
Well, there's been a number of them, sir. There was the methodology, the one paper you did on the methodology of the blue. I'm really nervous.
Right, you're talking about the methodology of the global climate deniers.
Yes, sir. You really blew them out of the water with that one. That was really great.
I'm amazed that you read that.
Let me ask R.C. this question. R.C., how do you feel about Dr. Turner, who says... I mean, how would you respond, or if you have a question for Dr. Turner?
That would be better if he has a question. I don't... too many people are giving... I have nothing against you, son, but too many people are giving opinions... And I'm getting a little weary of it, you know.
Don't you think people are entitled to have the opinion?
I don't think when it comes to global climate change. No, I don't. Now, you agree with me, right?
Well, I was going to ask you, sir.
But do you agree with me?
Yes, sir, I do, absolutely.
All right.
I was going to ask you, sir, if in point of fact the ice of the Greenland is not melting as rapidly, what did they say?
They are saying that the ice is not melting rapidly enough.
Yeah, if it's not melting rapidly enough and it only is inches, like Mr. Henry was saying, instead of feet, which, you know, we've got a joke about that at Bradley. We go, yeah, you measure me in feet instead of inches. Because that's how hardcore I am, but it's just a joke, sir. It's just a joke. So,
I don't appreciate that, son.
Yeah, it's a little crude.
Well, I apologize, sir.
Okay.
If that's not the case, and they do actually, and the sea only rises, say, like, you know, a little microscopic 2 inches or whatever, where will you go? What will you do?
What do you mean, where would I go? What does that mean?
I mean, wouldn't you feel like you've got to go get away or something?
I'm not sure I understand it.
What's the question about?
Well, wouldn't it be humiliating for Dr. Turner?
Young man, let me just tell you something, okay? Just so you and I are on the same page. There will be no humiliation for Rod Turner. Those days are in my past. Those days are in my past because I stay clear of humiliation. My science is exact. Dr. Hawking, I don't let him come near me. Neither him nor... look at this. Great, this is great. Guess who just wheeled through the door, Phil?
Who?
Steve Hawking.
Hey, but you're not going to talk to him.
What did I just get to tell you?
Dr. Stephen Hawking's there? That's pretty amazing.
Are you talking to me or do you want to talk to him? If you talk to him, you'll be talking to Roboto, the mechanical thing. You know that?
No, I know that, sir. I want to talk to you, but I just... Is it possible to talk to Dobden Hopkins?
Is it possible to talk to Dobden Hopkins?
No, I'm sorry. I'm really nervous.
Dr. Hawking?
Yes, sir. Dr. Hawking?
Yes. If you want to speak to Roboto, the mechanical voice.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, you forgot about that. Let me tell you, R.C., to answer your question, I think that in many ways...
No, hold on. We've got a question here. Did you want to ask a question, Bud? Or is it... What?
It's just a lot of people.
There's a lot of people with questions, R.C., so...
Well, that's all right. R.C. could stay on the line with us if there's other people who want to ask have a question to ask.
Well, I mean, can you answer my question, though, sir? Where would you run to? Or not, where would you run to?
I find that question insulting. All right? I find the question insulting.
All right. Well, all right. Let's wrap the... He doesn't mean to insult. I think what he's saying is that the people would probably want to humiliate. They probably would say, hey, Dr. Turner, you were one of the guys that said this and that.
And now it didn't take place.
And now it didn't take place.
Well, one thing I wouldn't do, R.C., is run.
Yes, sir. That's what I wanted to hear.
All right. That's one thing I would not do. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to rub my rear end and go, ooh, ow, that hurts.
Rub your rear end. That's fantastic, Dr. Turner.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, sir, I do.
I'm not going to rub my you-know-what and go, ooh, that was too big.
That's fantastic, sir.
Yeah, okay.
And all right, we get the point, Dr. Turner.
I'm sorry, but I'm talking to a high school kid, and I figure that I got to...
Yeah, we get the point, sir. 877-876-7445, Phil Henry Show. Dr. Ron Turner is with us as we talk about the most recent news in the world of global science, and that is, or global climate science, and that is that the glaciers of Greenland may not be melting as fast as once was feared, and that the sea rise or the level of the ocean, its rise will be measured in inches instead of feet by, close to the end of the century. It is rejected completely by Dr. Turner. I haven't really... We're not talking a lot of science, but you're not comfortable doing that.
Mr. Henry, if I could just say one thing, Dr. Turner.
Go ahead.
Dr. Turner is a scientist of great... And he studied it. And for you to keep saying to him, hey, you know, what's your science? It really insults him and is wrong. And I think that we should say that he knows, you know, because of the... Of the work that he done.
Yeah, but don't you want to ask...
Thank you very much, R.C.
Yes, sir.
Don't you want to ask questions?
Well, I don't have no question. I mean, the only question... But it was kind of a joke.
What do you mean a joke?
Well, I was going to ask you, are they going to be able to measure you in inches instead of feet? By the middle of the...
You're a real smartass, aren't you?
No, sir, I was just trying to...
Don't, you know what, the inches and feet joke, ha, 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 we got it out of our system, we can move on.
No, you're a real smartass, that's,
I'm sorry, sir, I didn't.
I, that's all right, but military academy or no, if I was over there right now and you said that to me, I would kick you so hard that I would probably win 5 different football games, but you sailing through all the goalposts, I'd kick your ass.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, yeah, you say whatever.
All right, gentlemen, hang on the line. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking about global warming. I don't know how it gets so juvenile. Dr. Ron Turner will be back with us to talk about how he says don't believe these stories that global climate change doesn't exist. The glaciers are melting. We are in serious trouble. We'll be back to talk more with him in a moment here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. On the line with me is Dr. Ron Turner, and we're taking phone calls from you on a variety of topics relative to climate change. Dr. Turner is at a testimonial for Dr. Kirk Johnson, who's retiring from the observatory there at Mountain Meadow. He's on the line taking my questions, and we also had a little bit of a difference of opinion on the reporting of this melting sea ice, which I imagine is something that there's never going to be any common ground.
There won't be common ground, Phil, because the climate change deniers continually want to keep this nonsense going. And the other thing is, I don't see how a program such as this, as much as I enjoy talking to you, is going to improve the understanding. I'm a scientist, and you have me talking to this boy. Is he still on the phone? Yes, sir.
Yeah, RC, you're there, right? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, yes, sir. All right. I mean, you're a fine young man, but I've been, and you're not an idiot, but I've been talking to idiots nonstop since this debate started in earnest about 8-9 years ago. I have been doing nothing but talking to idiots, one after the other, one idiot after the other. Oh, climate change does exist. Yeah, what I want to do, I want to beat, there are days I want to beat ass, I just want to beat their ass, you know.
Yeah, Dr. Tarter, I understand and I agree with you. And, you know, but I wanted to say one thing about Stephen Hawking, and I know you don't like talking about him. It never ends with Stephen. What do you want to know about Stephen Hawking? Well, I was wondering if you could, if you're there and I gave you my address, would you get his autograph?
Oh, come on, will you?
No, that's okay, Phil. It's all right. Sir, I'm not trying to insult you. You don't want my autograph, but you want his.
But, sir, I would like to have your autograph. We also read your papers at our school. And I don't remember reading nothing about Stephen Hawking.
Would you like to talk to him?
Yes, sir. I'd love to talk to Stephen Hawking.
That'd be really exciting, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir, it would.
Well, we're trying to talk to Dr. Tarter about, I mean, I wouldn't mind having him on the air either.
Oh, you know, you wouldn't mind having him on the air. I mean, everybody loves Stephen Hawking. You want to talk to him? You want to talk to him? You want his autograph? You want my autograph? No, you don't.
Yes, sir, I do want your autograph.
I think you're lying. I think you're lying. How does that feel?
I don't think you should say something like that, sir. I really do want your autograph. And I'm sorry that you don't believe me.
I apologize to our video cast viewers. We had the feed off.
What does that mean?
We had our audio feed off. It's not affecting the radio show.
You want me to get Stephen Hawking's autograph. Is that what you want to do?
I would appreciate it very much, sir, if you would, yeah.
Do you want to talk to him?
Yes, sir, I do want to talk to him.
How about you, Phil? You'd like to interview Stephen Hawking, will you?
Dr. Tarter, I don't want to be a child about this.
No, I'm not being childish. Do you want to talk to Stephen Hawking?
No, I want to be very clear. I want to talk to you. Yes, of course, I would love to have Stephen Hawking as an interview subject, but I want to talk to you. You don't want to give me any science because you feel like you're talking to idiots when it comes to global science. You've said that before on our show.
No, I said, since the global science debate started 9 years ago, I've been talking to a parade of imbeciles, one after the other. I get on these talk shows. I talk to these stupid ass. I talked to this ass on a show. Do you know a man by the name of Mike Gallagher or Mick Gallagher, something like that?
Mike Gallagher? I don't know. Yeah, I know Mike.
Oh, you know Mike. So you guys, well, you people, I don't know how you people do it.
Mr. Henry probably knows him only on account of the reputation of the being in the talk station. Or, I mean, the talk station business.
I don't think I asked you, young man. I asked Mr. Henry.
That's fine.
I'm sorry.
I don't know Mike. I've met him.
Okay, well, I was on that guy's show, and he's all, well, you have never heard such an imbecile, a blithering idiot, as this guy, Mike Gallagher. The other idiot that I was on his show.
Well, look, I don't want to talk about every idiot whose show you had to go on. You know, I mean, you don't have to go on those shows.
No, I know. Well, you guys want to talk to Stephen Hawking. All right, let me go get him. And you want his autograph, right, RC?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to have his autograph.
Hey, Dr. Hawking, would you... This is R.C. Collins.
Hello, R.C. Nice to talk to you.
Okay, he's doing a fake voice.
You better believe I'm doing a fake voice.
What?
That's what it would sound like if you talked to...
What are you talking? Was that Stephen Hawking?
No, it wasn't Stephen Hawking.
He was making up a fake voice.
Well, it sounded like him to me.
In other words, you want to talk to Stephen Hawking and he sounds like this.
Hi, R.C.
Is that what you want to hear?
Well, if that's the way he sounds...
All right, well, I could be Stephen Hawking then.
Hi, I see. I'm Stephen Hawking.
Is that what you want to hear? Yes or no?
What? Why are we getting into an argument about this?
Because the kid wants to talk to Hawking.
Well, look, at RC, I thank you very much. We're going to move on to another call.
No. Don't you dare hang up on him. Don't you dare hang up. Not yet. No. Not yet. Not yet, you disgusting oinker. Not yet. Now, do you want to talk to Stephen Hawking?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here I am. I'm Stephen Hawking.
there. How does it feel? Because if you want to carry on a conversation with Stephen Hawking, that's what it's going to sound like. And can you imagine being trapped in eternity with Stephen Hawking? Can you imagine being trapped in a post-nuclear nightmare landscape where the only other human being is the silhouette of a guy in a wheelchair going,
AIT, one place inside?
And following behind him, naturally, about seven or eight big boob Playboy bunnies.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I have never talked to so many psychos in my entire life as I talked to on this show. R.C. Collins, are you there?
I'm still here. I feel really bad for Dr. Tarter, and I think that somebody should check in on him. Someone ought to look in on him, because he sounds like he's about ready to do the honorable thing. In his case, it might be the honorable thing. I've always felt, years ago.
Okay, so he can shut up, too. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with more interesting, titillating news. I can't believe that whole event there in Denver, Colorado. News to come here on the Phil Hendry Show. You got the Chinese dissident and what they're going to do about him, this blind dissident. And we'll be talking to our newsmakers and our news contributors about the Chinese dissident
Phil
after this.
Hendry.
That's what I call it.
Here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. If you're watching Phil TV in HD at our website, philhendryshow.com, you're looking at the Phil Hendry Show ball cap that I'm wearing tonight. Pretty nice, huh, bud?
Yeah, pretty good. There, you can get one, too.
People can buy the Phil Hendry ball cap at our website, philhendryshow.com. Just go to our shop. We got ball caps, we got T-shirts, we got mugs. We got it all, man. We even got the Bobby Dooley keychain. And that's, I would say, fortuitous, I think is the word, because Bobby's going to join us this hour to talk, along with Margaret Gray and Debbie Daly from Public Radio, to talk about not the anniversary of the killing of Bin Laden, but now there is a real interesting, it's just this sort of interesting glimpse into the papers and other writings and other records of Osama bin Laden that was provided us by the RAND Corporation, the think tank. It was not the RAND Corporation. It was West Point, the U.S. Military Academy's think tank, which is called the Combating Terrorism Center. They released just a smidgen of papers and records of Osama bin Laden's today, and it's very interesting. There's not a lot, but it's really super interesting, some of the things that that are revealed in these documents. Among them, the feeling on the part of bin Laden that they were losing the propaganda war to an extent. The Sunnis of Western Iraq became very much the allies of the U.S. later in the Iraq War. The United States won that battle of the hearts and minds. And the reason for that was, in the mind of bin Laden, the beheadings, the horrible murders of civilians that were carried out by al-Qaeda in Iraq, and that one scumbag that we finally killed with the bomb. I forget his name. There's so many guys over there named Zawari and Zakari and Zahari and, you know, and Ferrari and you name it.
Ferrari.
Well, you know what I mean. But in any event, he also was planning an assassination, or wanted to plan some assassination of President Obama, and I think we know who won that quick draw at high noon.
Yeah, get a guy that's got your gun out of the holster faster, Ben.
Boy, that's the truth. He also wanted to micromanage the propaganda and publicity surrounding the 10th anniversary of 9/11. And he pretty much was sort of, in a lot of ways, you get this sense of a guy that was cut off from an organization that he founded, that he funded, that, you know, he provided a lot of the early seed money for this thing, but that he could no longer really control because he was a fugitive. He was a fugitive on the run. He was a guy, he was hiding out from people that not only wanted him, but wanted to kill him. And there weren't not a whole lot of meetings you can take, you know. in the middle of a situation like that. Bobby Dooley is joining us, Margaret Gray, a little bit later on, and Bobby is a member of the Angels on Our Shoulders. You have obviously followed the war in Iraq and the capturing of all of these documents, the killing of bin Laden. You were an opponent of the war in Iraq,
Well, yes, I was, Phil, and this is a much better way, I think, of solving the problem, where you go and find Osama. I don't think we had to wage an entire war to get Osama bin Laden, but we did, and in the process, I think we got an awful lot of sympathy for the Muslims, and I think a lot of sympathy for bin Laden, too.
What sympathy did bin Laden get?
Well, I think the fact that he was... don't get me wrong, Phil. Osama bin Laden's actions against the people of this country, the people on 9/11, were absolutely, without parallel, the most horrible things that one could imagine happening to a civilian people in the world of terror. But by the same token, the United States turned Osama bin Laden into nothing really more than an animal hiding among the rocks. That's what became of him.
Well, I mean, does anybody feel bad about that?
I don't know that it's anything to be proud of. I think that if you're going to go after a man and you're going to kill him, do you have to practice that kind of high-level torture? And yes, I do think it was high-level torture.
High-level, when you say high-level, what do you mean high-level torture? That we knew where he was and we were just toying with him?
I think there was an awful lot of that, I really do. We do know the Bush administration's propensity for the waterboarding, which I think is absolutely the most horrible thing I've ever heard of. And I think it's given rise to these horrible jokes that men are telling now about waterboarding. One of them, the former Saturday Night Live comic, Horatio Sands, who thinks it's funny to make waterboarding jokes.
I don't. You know, I'm conversing a little bit with Horatio on Twitter. What did he do?
Well, he told a joke in some video that he made of this. It's a stupid video that he made of a Mexican wrestler.
Yeah.
And he's in bed with two women, and one of... It's very crude.
All right, well, the best way you can... I mean, I don't know. If you're saying... You're making an accusation that he's joking about torture.
He is joking about torture.
In what... We're talking about Horatio Sands, who is the former cast member of Saturday Night Live, and now he's doing... he's with Upright Citizens Brigade.
Yeah, well, you know, Phil, you want to give him all these plugs, but the fact is... he's in bed with these, as this character, this wrestler, he's in bed with these two women. And one of them says, oh, you know, I blankety-blanked 26 times. And he goes, oh, that's why I needed this snorkel. You were waterboarding me. I mean, this is the kind of filth.
Ms. Dooley, you would have done less damage had you not brought it up at all, okay? And
my sons made me aware of it, Mr. Hendry. That's how I know about it. My sons already know about it. So I'm making other parents aware of the fact that it's now funny to make waterboarding jokes. Oh, my girlfriend was with me last night. She waterboarded me. Wink, wink. You know, so I can tell you that Steve and I have a very healthy sex life.
And Ms. Dooley, can I interrupt you for a minute?
Yes.
I, you know, there's no need. If we're talking about Osama bin Laden and documents captured by the CIA and...
By the Navy SEALs, Phil.
Yes, I know. CIA operatives, Navy SEALs, etc. There's no need to talk about your sex life with your husband. And
I am talking about the waterboarding crack made by Mr. Sands when the girl said you made...
I understand what the girl said, and he has the snorkel. I get it.
All right. Well, I'm just simply saying to you that my husband and I... you know, I'm very healthy that way, okay?
All right, that's fine. I don't want to hear any more.
Oh, my.
I don't want to hear any more, if it's all right with you.
So other women can talk about how...
No, other women can't talk about it either. I didn't hear any other woman talking about it. You mentioned a joke that you saw on Horatio Sanz's sketch that he did for his, you know, his wrestler character.
Well, I'm very healthy that way, okay? And my husband doesn't wear a snorkel.
That's great, Ms. Dooley. Thank you very much for getting that in, even after I asked you not to. It has nothing to do with Osama bin Laden. I can't believe we're even talking about it.
We're talking about waterboarding.
Okay, waterboarding.
What a way to go, though.
Well, Steve, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, sir.
You're going to waterboard me that way. I wouldn't mind the waterboard.
Steve just said that if they were
I heard what he said.
You are very rude tonight, and I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
Mr. Henry, my wife's upset.
Mr. Dooley, I would suggest that if your wife doesn't want to be upset, I don't want to hear any more about her sex life, the fact that you got to wear a snorkel, the fact that you get waterboarded by her every night, hint, hint, wink, wink. You understand me?
Yeah, I do nothing about that.
I don't like being talked to like that. I'm trying to give you, Phil, an overview of what the war on terror has done to my home.
Oh, your son saw something online from Horatio Sanz. Very funny guy. They laughed about it. They shared it with you. End of story. We didn't have to bring it on the air. Now, I'd like you to comment, or you can hang up if you want. It doesn't matter to me at this particular point.
I have never been treated so rudely.
Would you like to hang up? Would you like to hang up?
No, she doesn't want to hang up.
No, I don't.
Okay.
That doesn't mean you get to push me around.
I'm not trying to push you around, ma'am. Margaret Gray is going to join us.
Excuse me, but I haven't done speaking. I haven't done speaking.
My wife haven't done speaking.
Oh, you haven't done speaking? Okay.
Are you going to mock me?
Well, Ms. Dooley, you were crying and you were this and you were that. So keep Ms. Gray on hold.
You can go on at the same time.
Thanks very much, Bud the producer. I'll handle things from here.
I don't mind talking to her.
I'm talking to you. Osama bin Laden's personal effects and records, some of his journals, many DVDs of information and so forth were obtained by the U.S. Navy SEAL team. They extracted not only his body, as they say, but other things, the hard drives of computers, disks, all kinds of disks. And the portrait that emerges of Osama bin Laden, painted by this slim collection of notes and letters that was made public today, represents a sliver of a vast cache of material on computer hard disks and flash drives. The documents offer few revelations about how bin Laden evaded the U.S. for nearly a decade, but they do provide selective insights into his mind.
Well, and I think, Phil, the first thing you think of when you think of bin Laden, as I mentioned, is the fact that I think he was tortured at a very high level by the U.S. You say that, oh, I wish that we could have waterboarded bin Laden. Well, we didn't have to. We put him in a rat's maze. We sent him scurrying into the rocks. For 10 years, Osama bin Laden was toyed with. He was prodded and poked like a sick, despicable animal.
Despicable animal is a good description of him.
I think that kind of a description may very well suit you. I don't think it suits our discussion. But the point I'm trying to make is that Osama bin Laden was poked and prodded, pushed through the rocks and through the weeds and through the desert mazes of eastern Afghanistan and Pakistan. And in the end, he was an animal hunted by the world's most sophisticated military, toyed with, led to believe that he got to live another day or two, when in point of fact, he didn't know he'd breathed his last.
Well, I would love to get your thinking. I'd love to find out how you figured all of that out, Ms. Dooley, that bin Laden was being toyed with by the CIA. We knew where he was all along, and we decided to just kind of keep poking him and pushing him along this rat's maze. 877-876-PHIL is our number. 877-876-7445. We also have Margaret Gray coming on and Debbie Daly from Daly's Daily on Public Radio here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
What a retard.
listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Bobby and Steve Dooley with us. I caught you guys at dinner, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to have the... Yeah, we are getting a bite to eat here, Phil. We're over at Ted's tonight.
Oh, is he there?
I haven't seen him, but we're having the bruschetta. Yeah, I want the bruschetta. And I'm sorry, Phil, what? I'd like the bruschetta. I'd like the caviar.
Is it plump fish or is it beluga? Can we afford beluga?
Yes, we can. I apologize for that, Phil. Yes, we can afford beluga. And I would like a dirty martini. I'd like the martini dirty. That's how my husband likes me. Yeah, so that's not, yeah. That's how I like my martini. What do you have, Steve? The travel thing? What's that?
Okay, can we, you know...
Oh, I'm sorry, Phil. I'm going to have a little bruschetta before our dinner.
Okay, that sounds very good. We're talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
You know what bruschetta is?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you do?
Fancy.
I don't think it's that fancy.
Well, what is?
It's
Oh, no, see, you don't know. It's tomato.
Yes, it's tomato. It's an Italian on bread.
No, not bread.
But croutons.
It's on croutons.
Okay, very good, Bobby. You got me, man. I didn't know what bruschetta was. All right. So,
Let's be friends. We have been fighting since this thing started.
I want to do that, and I don't want to hear about your orgasms, and I don't want to hear about bruschetta.
I did not say anything about...
Yeah, your wife needs to clean it up. Let me get... You know what? I'm going to get Margaret Gray on the line here.
Excuse me, but I was talking...
Well, I'm going to talk to Ms. Gray for a second. Margaret Gray joins us from Santa Monica tonight here at the Phil Henry Show as we discuss with her and Bobby and Debbie Daly will be along later, the Osama bin Laden papers documents. Margaret, how are you doing?
Phil, I'm doing great, and I'm listening to the sparring that you're doing there with Bobby. Bobby, how are you, dear? Well, I'm fine, but I don't know how you get along with this man. Phil's a good guy. What you have to do is just go with the punches, Phil. We are, and I hope that you can hear me. I'm over at Vine Street tonight, Phil, so Frank and I are having a drink. It's kind of a date night for us.
Okay, did you read any of the bin Laden stuff? And I'm hearing a lot of noise in the background.
I can't hear you, Phil. What'd you say?
Did you read any of the bin Laden stuff that was released?
She can't hear you. What'd you say?
Well, my wife moved into the kitchen to make it louder.
Will you get... All right, I'm hanging up on the Dooleys, okay? Just hanging up on them. Are you there?
Well, there's me.
Fine, that's great.
Wait a minute, Phil.
Yeah, what do you want?
Miss Dooley, she's really mad. She's having a conniption.
I don't care if she's having a conniption or not. She purposely moved into the kitchen to make it louder so I couldn't hear Margaret.
Oh, that woman is really... I think she's hysterical. I think she's so pathetic that it just absolutely cracks me up. You know, Frank?
So you guys are watching some jazz tonight?
Yeah, what are we... Oh, I love her.
All right, so where are you guys? You're at the, all right, anyway, it doesn't matter.
Does it matter?
No, it doesn't.
Getting to bin Laden and what he represents to the United States war on terror, he was the big fish. There's no question about it. He was the one... God, she really can't sing.
The singer?
Yes, I will.
I didn't see him. I wanted to talk to Kat. Is she here?
Frank, I can't talk to Frank.
All right, so I already hung up on the Dooleys because she was talking to her husband and getting off point.
Well, what is that supposed to... Are you threatening me?
No, I'm not. I just... Please, just help me, Margaret. Help me keep this conversation moving along, okay?
I'll do everything in my power, Phil. I really will. I apologize. But I'm listening to a singer right now. She couldn't sing in the shower, Frank.
I think he's great.
Yeah, no, she couldn't sing in the shower. I can't stand the way that woman sounds. What's her name?
Betty Brown.
Okay, are we all done with Phil?
I'm sorry, dear. I apologize. What was your question?
My question is, what did you take away? You covered the Iraq War, even though you were in Rome.
I covered the Iraq war. What do you mean I was in Rome?
You were in a Rome hotel room while you said you were in the theater of operations.
I was in the theater of operations, Phil, but you cannot, as a civilian, expect to survive and report on a war if you're so close to it that you could be incinerated in the blink of an eye. Who files my report then, Phil?
Well, look, Mark...
Who files my report then? And who kisses my son goodnight, Phil?
Okay, this will make woman number two that's cried tonight on my show.
I'm not crying. I'm fine.
Boy, I think he can sing.
Oh, she sounds like a duck that's taking it from the... She sounds like a duck that's taking it from a gaggle of mallards. Phil, I was in the theater of operations, figuratively. I was in Rome, yes, but I'm not about to go so close to what is going on in the war theater that in the blink of an eye, I'm turned into a puddle. A puddle with a pair of shoes in it. Very expensive shoes, because I can tell you this, Phil. If I were attacked by any kind of a missile strike in Iraq, that would be the only thing of me that would survive, my shoes. The shoes that I buy, and you can ask Frank, I buy them sturdy. They are made to withstand missile strikes. So while you think I'm joking...
No, I don't think you're joking. It's as weird a thing as I've ever heard. Wow.
Let's say?
The shoes she buys are made to withstand missile strikes. So there'd be a puddle and then a pair of missiles. No, a pair of shoes. I'll be right back. The Phil Henry Show. Margaret Gray, Debbie Daly coming up as we look at the release of information that Osama bin Laden, his diaries, some photographs, maybe his favorite teddy bear. I don't know. We'll talk about all this stuff that was released today by the West Point's think tank and the world famous Phil Henry Show. Wow. Back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. On the line with us is Margaret Gray and her husband Frank, and they're out this evening at Vine Street. They're enjoying some music. But we are talking to Margaret. She's a journalist and was covering the war in Iraq. Whether you were in Rome or whether you were in the theater of operations, I'm not here to argue with you about that, Margaret. I just wanted to get your view as to the significance of this information.
I will tell you, as crazy as Bobby Dooley is, and she's a peace activist, Phil, that's not what I do. That's not what I do, okay? What I do is I report. Yes, I do form impressions. Impressions. This is a very important word, okay? I don't do what the Bobby Dooleys of the world do. I don't do what the average person does. I don't go, oh, I think. I form impressions. And that's what you do as a reporter. Now, there's a little bit of a lull from the bandstand. Frank, do you want to help me with this?
I would rather strangle. I would rather drink out of a Dodger Stadium toilet.
Thank you very much, Frank. Jesus.
What did he say? Good Lord.
Well, I feel I have a song that I wrote.
Come on.
Frank, why don't you shut up? How does that feel? You don't want to help me? You don't have to help me. Just shut up.
Well, I don't want to have an argument.
Don't worry about it. There's no argument. Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous, okay? It's okay. Go home and get your shine box, Frank.
What?
Now, Phil, the song is one that I wrote for Osama bin Laden. It's got a little bit of a sentimental opening, but I think you'll like the song, and it goes something like this. 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 4, and the 1, 2, I wish you bluebirds in the spring.
You have a beautiful voice, Margaret.
Thank you, Phil. Well, I sang commercially. You know that.
Yeah, he knows. I'm sorry.
Now, look at this. They're coming back on the bandstand. You jackass. God.
Well, what's the matter?
Well, they're back up on the bandstand, and Betty Brown, whatever her name is.
Betty's going to sing. I like the way he sings.
Yeah, you like the way he sings?
Just do the song, will you? Does it matter?
Let me move into it. I'll go near the ladies' room here. I wish you boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-
expect her to shut her hole. She's playing it.
Here is the song that I wrote for Osama bin Laden, and it goes like this, Phil. I wish you bluebirds in the spring, a cozy fire, and all that thing. But most of all, when snowflakes fall, I wish you... Well, that probably didn't work, did it?
It didn't work.
What was that?
Well, it was, what I did is I threw a cell phone into a toilet.
Do
we have to listen to Betty Brown?
Yes, I enjoy him.
All right, Margaret, you got a beautiful voice. So the song, it means what?
The song was a sentimental take on Osama bin Laden, because I think what we're talking about here... that didn't sound good at all.
No, it did sound like one of those airport or those airplane toilets.
Yeah, the kind that will suck your you-know-what right there with it.
Oh, God, that happened to Frank once. Did he tell you? He was sitting on the John first class, and he flushed the airline toilet. Well, you know the suction? Well, you see, Frank hangs kind of low.
Okay, we don't need to hear the particulars of that, if you don't mind.
God almighty.
All right, let's get Debbie Daly on here. I haven't gotten one opinion expressed yet about Osama bin Laden. It's starting to piss me off.
Hey, take it easy, okay? Don't talk to him that way.
You know, Frank, why don't you get your head fixed so you're not saying she when you mean he and he when you mean she?
He doesn't know what you're talking about.
I have no idea what you're speaking
about. Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Oh, yeah, baby. Go, baby, go. You love it or what?
I think she's a slut.
Yeah, check it out, Phil. You like this stuff?
No, I don't. Not in the middle of my show.
What are you, gay?
No, I'm not gay. I'm doing a show. Debbie Daly joins us from Daly's Daily on public radio as we continue to get impressions. Not. Hi, Debbie. How are you? Well, I appreciate that. Margaret Gray is here.
Debbie, darling, how are you, darling?
Debbie Daly, for those of you who don't know, is the only hearing-impaired host on the radio in America and maybe the world. She cannot hear and yet does a very credible job on her radio show. She's with us tonight to talk about...
Incredible job.
Just shut up, Frank.
Mumbling stutter.
All right. Well, in any event, Debbie, thank you. Osama bin Laden was, as you know, killed a year ago. The papers have been released. He was very, very much of a mind to control all of the propaganda and everything coming out of Al-Qaeda around the anniversary of 9/11. And yet he couldn't. What are your feelings?
Well, Phil, I think that...
Not your feelings, Debbie's.
Well, yes, I had my chance, and I was singing a song, Debbie, something that, well, I won't say it. It doesn't bother you? Okay, something that you can't do. Do I want to bet? Yes, I'll bet.
Yo, look, can we get back to Osama? What are you guys going to have, a sing-off? She challenged you, so you want to have a sing-off.
You're going to sing the song that I sang. Boy, this ought to be good. This will be a real hot one, listening to her stumble and fumble and Lou Ferrigno her way right through I Wish You Love.
I don't think the way he sings it be any worse than the way you sing it.
Again, Frank, shut up before you live to regret everything that you're saying tonight.
Okay, look, I would rather you not. I would rather talk about this. Talk about Osama bin Laden, which is what I've been talking about.
You yelled at her, Phil, and that you can't do that to someone like that.
These people that don't have any ears, you know, they'll go wild on you when you yell at them.
I'm sorry, Debbie.
Darling, go ahead and sing your song. Where'd you get that blow up again? sound effect.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. What do you mean blow-up sound effect?
That's what that was. It was a blow-up. Oh, you got it from Mr. Henry's Sound Effects Library. Thank you very much, Phil, for helping me out. I had a cell phone and a toilet.
I didn't know you needed that. Okay, Bobby, you sang your... I mean, not Bobby, Debbie. Bobby Dooley was on. You sang your song. Now let's get some impressions here. Osama bin Laden, how do you think he was feeling leading up to the day that he got his brains sprayed all over the room? I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But the day that he got shot.
That's a very good one. It is very martial of him. It's a human problem, too. Telling me to shut up? But I tell you what, the day that you get to tell me to shut my cake hole...
Why don't you just be quiet and let her talk? You're welcome.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
I don't need your permission. I just asked the host. Quit telling me it's okay. I don't need your permission. Joe, would you tell her to stop telling me to...
Okay, grow up, both of you, or hanging up.
Grow up, both of you, or hanging up.
Grow up, both of you, or I'm hanging up.
Now, that made sense.
Yeah, that
sense. Phil, I believe that Osama bin Laden, in the days leading up to his death, was a man isolated, a man alone. A man who reminds me of, yes, okay, a winter's day in a deep and dark December, 2, 3, 4. I am, you know what I mean? I am a rock. I am an island. You know? Oh, quit it. It's not that bad.
Is everything a song with you?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it is, Phil. And if more people lived like me, they might be happier.
It isn't a song with her. It all sounds like a cat being fed into a garbage disposal to me.
That's a cruel thing to say, Frank, knowing that you're going to be fed into a gap. Hold on.
She's stuck.
All right, well, then I can talk to you, Debbie. The idea that Osama bin Laden was planning an assassination of President Obama, ironic, huh? Yes, Obama. Yeah, Obama was the first on the draw. It was definitely high noon, but bin Laden hadn't even walked out of the saloon yet. And Obama was standing on the street waiting for him. Well, I thank you very, very much, Debbie. It's been a very confused night. How's Margaret doing?
He's still stuck. I still have gender confusion, but I did say she at that moment because I masturbated a lot yesterday, and that sometimes takes the pressure off.
Don't worry about it. He's a sick guy. Thank you very much, Debbie. We will be back with the Grays and more from Bobby Dooley. Debbie Daly, thank you. And it is the world-famous Phil Henry Show speaking here on the occasion of the release of some bin Laden materials from the compound raids. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Bill Henry Show.
877-876-7445. And next hour is our news and information hour here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. A little program alert. Tomorrow we're going to give away a couple of shot glasses on the show just because, you know, we just feel like that you guys have been good, you've been sweet, you've been nice, you've been kind, you've been this, you've been that. You've been everything and more. So we're going to give away some shot glasses on the Phil Henry Show. And it's time. It's time, man. The summer is upon us. And if you're like me, and you enjoy a nice, cold, refreshing shot of tequila. All right, 877-876-7445. Margaret Gray and Frank Gray with us from Vine Street tonight. We did have on the line Debbie Daly from Public Radio. Very happy to have her with us. And Bobby Dooley has rejoined us. Bobby, you know, thank you. And I will speak to you, Margaret, in a moment. Just please hold your thought. Bobby, I wanted to get your ideas, though. I wanted you to because you actually gave a very good, you gave, I thought, a very good opinion about Bin Laden. You said that the U.S., in your opinion, knew where he was for many years and toyed with him.
I think, Phil, that's the case. I think that Osama Bin Laden was tracked. At times they would launch an attack somewhere near where he was, and he would be forced to scurry out of there. So for 10 years, Osama bin Laden was forced to live on the run, an animal, a thing, more than a man, just a thing that lurked in the shadows, caught his pleasures and his entertainments when he could. But for the most part, the life of a satisfied man was denied him. The life that any other man may want for himself was denied him. Why? Because he happened to have a difference of opinion with the United States. And
he didn't just have a difference of opinion. Good God, he was a murderer.
Well, Phil, first of all, using the words, good God, it may sound indignant and it may give you the sound of a man who... feels a moral outrage, but I think it sounds gay.
Excuse me?
Good God!
Yeah, do it again, Steve. That's what it sounded like.
Okay, thank you very much, Bobby.
Wait a second,
All right, now let's get Margaret Gray back on the line.
Yeah, that's what putting that woman on the air did for you. You got humiliated. It was homophobic. Her husband was able to shoot a couple of shots. And for what? Now, there you stand, Phil, with an hour to go before you get off the air, and it just shrunk another half inch.
You know something? You are about as weird a woman. You're weirder than Debbie Daly.
What's weird about Debbie Daly?
Are you kidding?
Oh, so she was born without hearing, and that makes her weird?
No, it makes her weird that she thinks she's a regular Barbara Jordan, just all articulate and everything, and nobody can understand anything she's saying other than you, me, and the other people that come on this show. Now, you said you had a refinement on your song.
Yes, this is a refinement. I want to thank, first of all, Phil, I want to thank Bud Dickman. I want to thank Chet Armbruster here at the Vine Street. I also want to thank my husband, Frank, who gave me the idea. He said, why don't you get a better sound effect for an explosion? And I thought, that's a very good idea. Thank you, Frank. And I just want to thank, the Effervolts, who own the Vine Street. I want to...
Okay, Margaret, I got to, you know, move on here.
I apologize, Phil. All right. Here is a song for Osama bin Laden that I wrote in conjunction with my wonderful, wonderful husband, Frank. And it goes something like this. 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. And 1.
Can we do the song?
Oh, I'm sorry. 1, 2, 3.
Start.
I wish you bluebirds in the spring, a cozy fire, some ding-a-ling. But most of all, when snowflakes fall. Oh, my God, who's that guy in the Kevlar?
Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, who's singing?
What do you mean, who's singing? I'm singing.
Okay, so what is the...
It's the thing. It blowed up Bin Laden.
Don't you get it? Bin Laden got blowed up.
Yeah, I get that Bin Laden got blowed up, but I didn't understand. Blowed up. I get that he got blown up. I don't understand.
Oh, God, Phil, why does everything with you have to be a big mystery?
I don't know. Who's singing? You are.
Yes.
And then why is it that you see the Kevlar and the Chinook?
It's as if I'm singing to Osama, and all of a sudden I look over his shoulder, and I see a Chinook hovering with guys going down the grappling. The grappling. What's it called?
The rappelling.
They're rappelling.
Soldiers are coming out of the Chinook.
Bingo. Give the man a cigar. What an idiot.
You're calling me an idiot on my own show.
Bill, I came on your show to class it up a little bit.
All right, I just wanted to know. That's all.
Can I do it again? Now, with that in mind, let me do it again.
All right, go ahead.
Don't count it down. He gets irritated. I wish you bluebirds in the spring, a cozy fire and everything. But most of all, when snowflakes fall, that red light looks like a laser sight to me. I could be wrong.
That was...
You know, and I add that at the end, because that's Bin Laden.
Yeah, I know. He's dead.
Yeah. So...
Even though you're the one singing.
Well, I represent him, too. Because I wish you bluebirds in the spring, a cozy fire and everything. But most of all, when, you know, when snowflakes fall, uh-oh, what are those steps? I hear people on the stairs, and then...
I wish you love.
So I'm dying. I wish you love.
You're dying.
No, Bin Laden's dying, but I represent him. And me.
Yeah, he's him, but he's also her.
Oh, he's him, but he's also her.
No, she, meaning me. I feel you're disappointed with me tonight.
Yeah, a little bit. I thought you were rude. I thought your song sucked. I thought that Frank was his usual mentally deranged self. You were no help with Ms. Dooley. You were no help with Ms. Daly, who you said you would help me with. You gave no real opinion about Osama bin Laden's papers or these discs that we were talking about. You talked about having experience as a war correspondent, even though you were in Rome and not in Iraq. And you gave me absolutely no idea as to how to deal with any of that. On to point two. When I was...
Love.
Great. Thank you very much.
Blame me. I'm not.
All right. Thank you, the Grays.
Well, that lady, she's strictly from hunger.
Boy, you said that again. Well, I don't know what their problem is, other than to say that she was watching some jazz. Did you call her later than I told you to, Bud? Because if you said yes, you did, then they weren't expecting the call.
Well, they weren't home the first time.
That's why. They weren't even expecting the phone call.
You gotta call them up, man. They know they're gonna be on the radio. Dan, what am I supposed to do if they're not home?
You don't just call them up and throw them on the air. We'll be back. News and Information Hour coming up at the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I wish you love.
Phil Henry.
Show, and it is our News and Information Hour here as we are with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And were you guys looking that up or not?
Yeah, I looked it up. Can't find it, though, and I don't know why she can't go look that up. The only way that she do it.
What did you just say?
Yeah, that's not even English. I said, why can't she look it up and be done with it?
I don't know. She asked us to do that. Folks, Margaret Gray asked if we wouldn't mind, and of course we do mind, looking up the karaoke versions of different songs so that when she comes on the show to sing them, she won't sound like an idiot having to go 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and there's no musician. She didn't say that, but I'm saying that. But that's essentially what the problem was. But you're right, it's not our problem.
But I can't tell her mind her own business?
Don't tell her that, man. Just call her up and tell her, no, Ms. Gray, we can't do that for you. Thank you. Anyway, welcome back to the show. I never did get an opportunity in that entire hour to read to you some of the really, what I consider to be really fascinating stuff that came out of the cachet of the small smidgen of stuff released by the West Point think tank from the bin Laden compound. So we'll do a little bit of that on the program this hour. I've got some NBA highlights to get through. I did not check the wire or not. I know that one of the leaders
of Europe, Western Europe, said that Iran will not get nuclear weapons. Don't even worry about it. The world powers will stop them. Yes, yeah, sure.
Why don't you believe that?
Well, I mean, it's whatever. Talk is cheap, as they say. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. What the hell is this, bud?
It's a song.
Margaret?
Yeah, hold on.
Well, what is she doing? Hold on for a minute, okay? Would you, don't mind, put her on hold. What are you doing?
She said to call her when I get the music.
Does that mean that all of a sudden Phil is just, I'm just sort of, I don't know, wallpaper? That as soon as you get the song, you call her up and you guys just change everything? Is that what that is?
Ms. Gray?
Well, it was my fault. I'm sorry. I just told them as soon as you get the song, let's get it on the air. We've got to get it on the air. And
why do we got to get it on the air?
Because it's a riot. It's me singing I Wish You Love and then Bin Laden get blowed up. And I thought maybe...
Are you serious with the gets blowed up?
I'm sorry. Gets blown... He gets... I didn't want to say gets blown up for the FCC.
It's not that bad, okay?
Well, that's not what you said. You said the FCC is nothing more than a criminal enterprise. And
yeah, that's fine, Ms. Gray. Thank you very much. Okay, so we're going to have the song I Wish You Love. Here is Margaret Gray singing, and then we'll be done with it. Thank you very much, and get out of my life. Margaret Gray, go ahead.
Really kind of messed up, but before you go away, I wish you bluebirds in the spring, a cozy fire.
Oh man, are you off key?
I beg your pardon?
You're way off key. That's the most horrible thing I've ever heard in my life. And to think that in all the years that I... What happened?
She's gone.
Well, I... That was horrific.
It was pretty bad.
That was horrific. What were you doing, bud?
I was just playing a song. She said a fine song called Wish of Love. And I got a thing. And all of a sudden, she sounded like cuckoo.
Yeah, cuckoo with a different vowel. Like,
Oh, yeah, I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say...
Never mind what I'm trying to say. That's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. Don't ever interrupt my program for garbage like that again, okay?
Yes, sir.
You promise?
Yes, sir.
You promise?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right. So what we were trying to say here as the program was commencing, there was... God, I knew it, man.
Goodbye, let our hearts call it a day.
Here's what I'm going to do, bud. I'm going to ask you to leave the room now.
Mr. I didn't know. She said to do it.
What did I tell you to do? Get out of here.
That for a whole hour?
As long as I tell him to stay out, he stays out. I don't want him in here. You understand?
Yes, sir.
As far as that nut Gray, I don't want her on the air. I don't want her controlling anything that goes on in here. I've never seen anything like it. I've got a woman sitting out there in the world somewhere calling up this idiot, telling him to just go ahead and put on music whenever. And that I just did that myself. Wow.
Man, you're losing it, man. You're crackers. You're cracking up.
Maybe. Maybe. Okay, so in any event, here's what the word was. German Foreign Minister Guido Westerwelle. How the hell a guy who's German gets the name Guido is anybody's guess, but that's what it says. Guido Westerwelle vowed on Thursday that the international community will block Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon as he underscored Germany's steadfast support for Israel. The current Iranian nuclear program represents an enormous danger, not only to Israel, but to the region as a whole, Westerwelle told a Jewish advocacy event in Washington. Sure, I've got the name Guido, but what's that between friends, he said, as he went ahead and wolfed down another plate of mac and cheese. We cannot and will not accept an Iranian nuclear weapon. We cannot accept an Iranian weapon. We need substantive and verifiable guarantees that Iran is not pursuing a nuclear weapon. Did I say weapon? The West worries Iran is trying to develop an atomic bomb under cover of a civilian energy program But Tehran insists the program is solely peaceful. Last month, the so-called PS Plus One group, the five permanent members of the UN Security Council plus Germany, met in Istanbul with Iranian officials to discuss their concerns, with a further meeting set for May 23rd in Baghdad. Despite Israeli concerns that additional talks would be futile, Westerwelle called for further negotiations with Tehran, stressing that our unity and our resolve are showing results. Well, I don't know how the hell the guy knows it's showing results, man. How the hell do you know that, you know?
Well, they're going to tell them everything they want to hear.
Right. See, here's what I think is going on. This is exactly my read on it, and have I been wrong before? You better believe it. But this is what I, you know. Number one. This guy Ahmadinejad strikes me as a real clown. And by that I mean he's a smart guy. He looks like the kind of guy that enjoys a good laugh. I realize that sounds crazy, but hey, Hitler liked dogs, so what do you know? He also looks like the kind of guy who likes mind games, and I think when it comes to this nuclear thing, the opportunity for mind games is just, it's amazing. I'll give an example of what I mean. If a guy's worried, sweating buckets, over the fact that you've got, or maybe have, nuclear weapons, well, and he's an arch enemy, he's somebody that you don't like, he's somebody you wish would go away, he's someone that you don't want in the area, he's somebody that maybe you don't care whether he's there or not, but you know that it puts you in good with the people that you want to be friends with if you say you hate him. For instance, the Iranians, who are culturally Persians, they're not Arabs. The problem that Israel represents really is one for the Palestinian people and the surrounding Arab peoples. It's got nothing to do with Iran. The Iranians ought to keep their big fat noses out of it, but they haven't because they want a political voice in the region. So what they do is they start talking like they got a nuclear weapon, and it starts making that guy that is nervous already, he's really sweating buckets. And, oh, yeah, won't be long now, man. And then you say stuff like, and this Israel. Man, I can't believe those guys still exist. But someday they'll be gone, man. You say all that really cute stuff to get everybody, really pissed and really nervous and really crazed about, oh, what are they going to do now, man? I swear to God, they're going to watch the... I don't think those guys, I got money that says they have no intention. They have no intention of launching a nuclear strike, and they already know that Israel wouldn't dare. Israel may attack militarily, which is beautiful for Iran. Iran, well, they'd love that.
Why?
Oh, my God, it would make Israel look like the aggressor again. Israel would look like the aggressor like they did, like they somehow were able to make Israel look in the Six-Day War, like they made Israel look when they took out the nuclear reactors in Iraq, like they'll make them look if they attack Iran. And say, look at these nervous guys, man. We didn't do anything, man. They were hitting us. They were attacking us. God, you know, it was all peaceful.
You think they got a bomb, though?
There's no doubt in my mind they're looking to develop a weapon. No doubt in my mind at all. None. If anybody thinks that Iran is not developing a weapon, oh, my God, I'm telling you, you got to get a CAT scan, something. That's a foregone conclusion. But here's the real rub. That they would use it is off the table. Of course they wouldn't. That they have one, yes. That they're trying to cover it up with this peaceful thing is also what's happening. Why would they allow inspectors? Why are they talking to the other countries? Oh, yeah, man. As soon as they have their stuff together, they'll let in 9 million inspectors into that country, and they'll never find any kind of weaponizing. They'll take a look at what looks like a peaceful program. That's what the Iranians are banking on. That they'll fool any inspector into thinking, oh, the whole thing is intended for peaceful purposes. And they're also hoping that if they make Israel nervous enough, Israel will attack them, look like an aggressor. Iran will look like the recipient of an unfair attack. Oh, my God. And they will beat their chests, and they'll just, oh, dearie me. And they'll go in front of the UN, and it'll just be the most horrible thing. And Israel's got to know that. But Israel can't take the chance. They can't take the chance. This is their stated national purpose.
But they're going to attack anyway.
Yes. Yes. Israel knows that they're probably being baited. Israel knows that the Iranians probably do want them to attack them. And Israel will attack if they know where the weaponizing of that so-called peaceful nuclear process is taking place, they will attack. But they got to know. They got to somehow muscle the U.S. into giving a green light. although I don't even think they give a damn about that and shouldn't. And then they're going to have to present their case to the world that we had to do it. And whether the world believes or not is anybody's guess. When it comes to Israel, the world always wants to not believe. Because they're a bunch of Jews.
Man, that's not fair. You think everybody like anti-Jew and everything?
Yeah, pretty much. So that's my feeling on it. But Iran wants a bomb. Of course they do. Pakistan has one. India has one. Israel most likely does. What's Iran not having an atomic bomb for? All right, we'll be back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It is our news and information. No, I do not want Margaret back on the... I'll kill somebody. Come on back in, bud.
Thanks. I'm not going to put her on or anything. It's more if you want her.
No, I don't. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Our news and information hour here with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And who?
Well, I'm going to line up. Do you want me to get on the air Art Griego?
Art Griego, why?
Well, about the buggiest city.
Art Griego's a pilot. Why would I want him on for buggiest cities?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What the hell are you guys? You must be, you know what your problem is, bud? You're fooling around. You're trying to, I know what you're doing, man. The wheels are spinning. You're trying to see how you can, you know, get a little bit higher up the pecking order around here, okay? Art Griego is a pilot, man. Why do I want that jackball talking to me about New Orleans, Tampa, and what's this other city?
Houston.
Having more mosquitoes and bugs and...
The guy knows about flying.
Because there's freaking mosquitoes? Wow.
Man, you know, that got nothing to do with flying. That's a bug.
I know, but the mosquitoes fly.
No kidding. In any event, during the war... Did you talk to him? No, you don't have to call him. During the warm summer months, nothing beats a night out on the beach, the boardwalk, or even the porch. Nothing beats a night on the porch? I think something beats a night on the porch.
What?
Anywhere other than the porch.
What about that guy you told me about, a guy with a bug zapper?
What guy was I telling you about, a guy with a bug zapper?
The guy that'll get the six-pack of beer.
That's a joke, man. That's a joke. That's a redneck joke. Big night, you know, big night for a redneck is sitting there with a six-pack of beer and the bug zapper.
What's that do?
Because it's groovy to look at the bug zapper, I guess. It beats the hell out of the TV. I don't know. But in recent surveys, Americans said that the thing most likely to ruin their summer vacation plan is buggies. Buggy, wuggy, wuggies. And more specifically, skeeters. Now, we don't have a lot of skeeters here in California. Not the way you get... And I've lived in the South for many, many years. And I also lived in another place that's got mosquitoes like you wouldn't believe. Minnesota. Good God Almighty.
What Minnesota got mosquitoes for? That's way up north.
Because they got something called lakes. They got something called lakes.
Why do lakes do it? Just go to water?
No, it isn't just because of water. Lakes and all that vegetation, it creates a kind of humidity. And it gets kind of warm. And it gets kind of funky. And it's, geez. And it's warm and it's wet. And then when the vegetation there dies and it begins to decompose into that stinky, swampy smell, man, mosquitoes love that. And they just buzz their asses off around that stuff. And I got to tell you something. You know, I worked down south as a construction worker, and I did a radio show and lived in Minnesota. And one night, I had been out late with a young lady. All we did was we had a couple of drinks, and then we went to a park. And it was kind of these late night, you know, things, just walking through a park.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, man, what I say is what you can believe. Anyway, make a long story short, I got home that night, and the next morning I woke up, and I was covered in welts. And I'm telling you, I'd never seen anything like this before in my life. I mean, it was worse than Florida. When I was in Florida, I used to dig One of the things I did was...
Dug music.
Yeah, I used to dig music. I also dug swimming pool holes.
Oh, yeah.
And so when you dug in the sand of Florida, these sand gnats would come out. And by the end of a day, when you're down there in that sand, and you're not only digging, but you're laying steel, you're putting steel in, and you're putting pipes in, plumbing, all kinds of crap. And I it was like I had leprosy or something. I was covered in these red welts from these sand gnats. Well, this stinking, these mosquitoes in Minnesota, they ain't got nothing, there's nothing compares to them. And, and you got to get that stuff, that crap that you get. What's that stuff called?
Well, they got off.
Yeah, they got no bug. And
what do you mean no bug?
Well, the stuff like off.
Off, yeah. And what else?
No bug.
I've never heard of no bug. Is there such a thing?
Well, you know, like no bug.
Yeah, just the bug will stay away.
Well, what's the name of the product, man? I mean, no bug.
Yeah, well, it's like bug away or go away bug.
Yeah.
Go away bug. Uh-huh. So they got off and they got go away bug. What else have they got? Something like maybe get lost mosquito?
Yeah, probably something like that. I mean,
you guys understand I'm asking you a specific question? So you got to put that stuff on. Frog. Remember that stuff?
Yeah, frog.
Frog's a good one. You cover yourself up with that frog. Now, I know that stuff works because I've been in a lot of tropical places, man. I've been to, I've been in the deepest, darkest pits of Louisiana. I have been in Fiji and Hawaii and all these places. And I was down in Fiji, and you got all kinds of humid. You ain't never seen humidity like Fiji, man. You walk in the water down there, and it's 90 degrees. But no bug bites. Why? Because I made damn sure I had that frog stuff, see?
What do they call that frog?
They call it frog because who lives in a... Frogs live in a swamp.
Yeah, they don't get bit.
I don't know whether they get bit or not.
Well, you ever seen a mosquito bite on a frog? I don't think so. It's a very good point. You know,
I don't think they give a... You know what? You guys are so dumb, man. Who cares? How do you know that mosquitoes don't bite frogs? The point is, you put that stuff on and it keeps the mosquitoes away. That's what you got to do. Now, in a recent survey, Americans said the thing that they hate are bugs, and more specifically mosquitoes. Spurred by unseasonably warm weather, the pesky creatures have invaded cities across the country. However, OFFI, which is something... The official Firefly Institute named Tampa, Florida, as the buggiest city, with New Orleans wiping up the rear. All right.
No kidding.
Yep. They also have the buggiest city on the West Coast. Guess which one it is?
I don't know.
Portland, Oregon. Woo! Yeah, baby. Portland, Oregon is got the funkiest, freakiest bugs. Number two out west. San Jose, number three, Las Vegas. We'll continue with our bug talk. If it ain't bugging you.
They bugging me.
On the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you.
You bug me, man. Don't bug me.
Yeah.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We did get Art Griego on the line. First of all, Art, I'm sorry. I did not mean to bother you because he wanted, Dickman wanted you on.
Well, he told me the because of flying, mosquitoes are flying, and I said, you know, I can't, but I do have a mosquito story that I ran it by, Bud. And he said that it sounded like a good story.
Pretty good. That's why I knew it'd be a good guest.
You know, you didn't know he was going to be a good guest. You called him up because mosquitoes fly, and you figure a guy that used to be a commercial pilot.
Well, I guess we should, Phil, know something about mosquitoes, but unfortunately I'm not that much of an aficionado.
But the story you got, pretty good.
Well, It has to do, it's a similar story to the one that you had. I was with a young lady, and this was in a different American city. This was in Birmingham, Alabama. And I was down on a layover, and I was very young at the time, and she was not a member of our flight crew or anything. She was actually a student, a young woman that I had known when I was growing up. And
where were you from?
I'm from Los Angeles, but I grew up because my father moved to Point du Hoc, Wisconsin, which was a manufacturing center at that time for the business that he was in. He was in car parts, auto parts, and they were manufacturing at that time in that area of Wisconsin. I don't think they are anymore. So I grew up there mostly, but I went to school at the University of Wisconsin, and that's where I met her. So we were together that night, and we were romantic. And I woke up the next day, and I had mosquito bites places that I don't think any man on earth.
Well, I wouldn't say no man on earth.
Well, I will just say that I had made the mistake of taking my clothes off in this park.
How old were you?
I was in my 20s. And the reason why I say I was in my 20s, I don't think I would have done that had I been any older. And it's not that I didn't find her attractive or that we didn't have a good time, but...
And I imagine the young lady was disrobed as well.
That's the thing. No, she wasn't. No, she wasn't. Because what happened was... I'm embarrassed telling this story, understand, because my wife is listening, and I don't know if you ever heard the story, Betsy, but I got my pants off, my clothes off, everything, and the girl... ran away, basically, that she had had in her car.
The girl ran away.
Yeah, and she had had in her car a can of gasoline, and I'd said to her, "Why are you bringing the gasoline?" She'd brought the gasoline out, and she had told me she didn't want it in the car. She was afraid it was a hot night, and she was just nervous, so she was carrying this can of gasoline with her.
You guys are going to this park?
Yeah, yes, exactly. It was a park in Birmingham. It's called Westgate Park, I think. And so we start to kiss, and I strip, and...
Had she taken her clothes off, huh? No?
No, she was fully clothed.
But you're nude.
Yeah. Anticipating that I figured it wouldn't be long before I'd have her in the mood. And
well, let me ask you this question, okay? And
well, you're interrupting me, Phil, and...
I apologize. Go ahead.
All right. So, and then you can ask me.
Okay.
So we're making out, and I'm nude, and she now gets up. She says, I want to take my clothes off, or whatever she said. It didn't seem alarming. She poured the gasoline over my clothes and lit it on fire and ran with this can of gasoline uncorked. And I could hear her laughing, and the gas is spraying all over the place.
And she took off on you.
Not only did she take off, she got in the car and left. So when you talk about, that was probably the more interesting aspect of the story. I was going to tell you about the mosquito bites.
Well, how did you get home?
Well, what are you going to do? I put the fire out as best I could. My slacks were basically a pair of shorts. They had been burned. And the unfortunate part was one leg was longer than the other. They'd been burned in an awkward way so that one leg got burned up. And almost the entire rear end of the pants. Now, the underwear was partially okay, so I had on underwear and a pair of pants with the part of the rear end missing.
So, in other words, you had just enough there to wear.
Yes, I had just enough that I was able to salvage from the fire to wear. I was shirtless, no shoes, no socks, just the slacks that had one leg that was partially burned and the other leg almost burned off. And the underwear was fine except for the front, but I had to put my hand over that because but my pants were okay. So all in all, it was pretty difficult.
So let me ask you a question here. What time of night is this?
It was about 1 a.m.
Okay, so you're in the middle of the night. A fire burns up your clothes. The girl runs off. And did you start walking home then?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
How far did you have to walk?
Well, I was going back to the hotel. So I had, it wasn't that far, it was about 3 miles back to the hotel. It was a Sheraton downtown Birmingham, Alabama. But I didn't get more than probably, I got about a half a mile right near that skate rink that they used to have. I don't know if you know Birmingham, Phil.
No, I don't.
Well, there was a skating rink off of downtown there, the downtown circle, they call it. I got as far as that, and sure enough, here's a police officer. Asked me what happened. I told him the truth. And he gave me a ride back to the, actually, he called me a cab. And the cab took me back to the hotel.
Oh, my God. What a story.
Yeah.
But the only thing you remembered about that night were the mosquito bites.
Well, the kid called me up. This Dickman calls me up and says, can you talk about mosquitoes? You used to be a pilot. I said, no, I can't, you ass. I was about to hang up, and I realized, oh, well, wait a second. There was that one time.
But of everything that happened that night, the one thing you remember are the mosquito bites.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't you remember this chick burning up your clothes and running off with this gas can? And
because it's embarrassing. I mean, look, I had to be the world's biggest idiot. If I get out of the car with this girl and we're going to the park to make out and maybe have sex, and she's carrying with her a can of gasoline, everybody I've talked to since said to me that that was my tip-off.
And, well, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and at the time, I didn't know. I mean, at the time, I was so, you know, I mean, I wanted to get with this girl, and...
So whatever she said about this gasoline, you believe?
Yeah. And so...
This was this girl's plan all along?
I guess, yeah.
Did you see her after this?
No.
Have you seen her since?
I saw her once at a birthday party. It was an anniversary party, actually, for some friends, mutual friends. And I saw her at a birthday party. And then I think she moved with her husband to Hawaii.
And what did you say to her?
What am I going to say?
You know, I got to tell you something, Art. Guys like you, I admire, but at the same time, I don't know how you exist.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, if that happened to me, I would be looking to exact some revenge, you know?
It's not worth it.
But for something, I would say something. I would, I don't know. I guess you're right.
I mean, think about it. Think about it. The more of a deal you make out of it, the more people are going to say, what happened? And then you have to explain it to them, and then the story gets out. I'm on the radio right now talking about it because it's been so many years, I don't care. But at the time, the last thing I wanted to do is walk up to her and say, oh, hey, you know.
What was her name?
Cheryl.
Okay.
And anyways, you'd say, hey, you know, you owe me money for the clothes of mine that you burned in the park that night, and I had to get a cab, and the cops stopped me, and I had to get a cab home, and people are going to ask you.
No, you're right about that, but I don't know, I would be really, really pissed off or something, or maybe I'd feel stupid.
Well, you do feel stupid, because, like I said, had I asked her, what are you doing with that can of gasoline? Oh, and I did ask her.
What was it?
She said that she didn't want to leave it in the car.
Oh, that's right, because it was a hot night. She had a can of gasoline in her car.
Yeah. I figured that she had stopped and filled it before she met me. We had dinner.
This chick meets you for dinner and plans on burning your clothes up.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just in the car. It seems like a really elaborate plan, you know?
Well, I don't think it, because I talked to her sister later on, and her sister said that... Cheryl got back to the house, and she was laughing hysterically, and got on the phone and talked to, I think it was her older brother, and sort of compared notes, so I think it was his idea.
Why are they picking on you?
What's that?
Why did she pick on you?
Because I was older. You know, at the time I was 30, and she was 19, and I think that, I think her brother, and I think her family thought it was kind of weird that she was going out with a guy that much older.
That doesn't seem like a very good excuse to pick on a guy, though.
Well, you know. So, I mean, her brother had said, oh, wow, this real old guy came to pick up Cheryl. And, you know, I was 30. I mean, I didn't feel like I was an old guy.
Real old guy. She was 19.
At the time, yeah.
Well, you know what, man? You're a better man than me. And the other thing is that the other thing that I would say is that why think about it?
Exactly. Well, you've got to think about it, and you've got to talk about it. Why, you know.
Unbelievable.
Can I tell you one more thing?
Go ahead.
I'm only kidding. None of that happened.
Did you know that?
He, yeah, you.
So in other words, what happened to you, Phil, is you just fell for this big, long, elaborate thing that I had you believing happened to be.
No, I didn't fall for a big, long...
Yeah, you did. Because Bud already knew about it.
I knew about it. He told me what he'd gone do.
You know, I'm getting sick of doing this show.
Oh, quit being a baby, will you?
I'm not being a baby. Who are you to say?
So what? So I pulled one over on you.
I don't even know what's going on anymore.
Quit yelling, man. You've been yelling all night.
What are you guys telling me what to do for, huh?
Just, so what? So we pulled one on you. So what?
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I mean, the kid called up. He said, you want to talk about mosquitoes? I said, I'm a pilot. He goes, yeah, they fly. I said, you're an idiot. But, I said, well, let's cook something up.
Let's cook something up.
Yeah. You mentioned you'd been in a park with a girl. And there's only one way you're going to get that many mosquito bites, Mr. Henry. With all due respect, you must have had your pants off.
And I'm not going to comment on that, okay?
Well, even more, that proves. So I said to Bud...
No, that doesn't prove anything.
Well, you know...
Why don't you let him finish the story?
Yeah, you got to let him finish the story.
So you got you said you had all these mosquito bites. I'm saying I'm betting you took your pants off.
I'm not making any comment one way or the other.
Okay, that means yes, you did.
And no, it does not.
In any way, I said let's cook something up about me yanking having my pants off. He said that sounds great.
So none of this stuff happened with the girl. You know what? I'm hanging up on you.
Oh, don't be such a.
Don't be a baby about it.
What are you all depressed about?
I can't believe that you guys yanked that one over on me. And I you know what? You do this show long enough, you don't know what's real anymore. You know?
Yeah, but you're all getting all baby about it.
I'm not being a baby. I just, you know, I'd like to have a little control over my own radio show. Do you mind?
Yeah.
No, do you mind? Can I just, would that be okay with you guys?
Well, yeah, but I mean.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it is? Oh, well, that's great. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Guess all we did was just, you know.
Oh, all you did was just, you know, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'd just like to have a little control over my own show. I'd like to know what's gonna go on. I don't want to be the butt of the jokes. See what I mean?
You gotta be more like the face.
Yeah, instead of the butt.
Yeah, that's right. I'd like to be the face of the jokes, not the butt. Yes.
Are you gonna cry?
No, I'm not gonna cry. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to do what you'd do, bud. Okay?
I'm not crying.
No, but you would if this was... Never mind. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. It is our news and information hour. Aren't you happy that this is our news and information hour? Aren't you getting a lot of great information? I'm not.
Oh, come on, man.
Truth. He's our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil. I want to get turn that on. Was that music? I don't want to hear this. Austin, go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Henry Show. How are you?
Hey, Mr. Henry, how are you doing? Thank you for putting me on.
You're welcome.
We're having a fishing derby for this weekend. It's going to be at Lake Castaic, and I've got a little bit of a cold, but I was hoping that maybe you could be you'd come up and. Be an honorary official or anything like that, we'd really appreciate it.
You're having a fishing derby?
Yes, sir. It's going to be at Lake Castaic in northern Ventura County. And we're going to have probably close to 200 participants.
And what are you guys fishing for up there?
Well, we fish for bass, mostly. We've got bass, some lake trout, and rainbow trout. Excuse me. But...
Well, I tell you, this weekend I'm going to be in a poker tournament.
You're going to be in a poker tournament. Okay. Then you could have probably said that.
When? Yes. Okay. I mean,
when I said, would you be in a fish tournament? And you go, oh, what kind of fish?
I'm telling you, manners.
Well, I mean, a guy has a point.
No, he has no point. He has no point.
You got all upset, man. The guy asked you to be the guy.
No, I heard what the guy said. I heard what he said. Would you be a tournament official of some kind, honorary? I said, oh, well, you know, I'm going to be playing poker. You know.
Yeah, but you should have said that right away.
What do you mean I should have said that right away? The guy says he's going to be in a fishing. Oh, really? What kind? All I asked was what kind of fish.
All the while knowing that you're not going to be able to be in it because you're going to a poker tournament.
You know what? You know what I'm going to have to do just to know that I'm not losing my mind and to know that I've got a crew that backs me up. I'm going to have to just kick your asses out of here for the rest of this week. That means tomorrow night's show. Get your ass out of here.
Okay, game with me. 3-day weekend.
Really? It could be a 4-day weekend. Would you like that?
Will you threaten to fire us?
Yes, I am threatening to fire you. Get an argument from you guys about everything, man. Okay? Guy calls up, says, would you be a fisher?
Didn't say, would you be a fisher? He said, would you be?
I know what he said. Would you be an official? I said, what kind of fish? Is that the big mistake I made? I should have come right out and said, no, I can't. Just be a real rude ass. Trying to do something with the freaking phone call, man. You put it through.
Yeah, I thought it'd be a really good phone call to say to the guy, yeah, I'd be happy to come up there and be the fish guy. Just because you be in a poker tournament don't mean you can do the fish. You can't do the fish tournament too.
Yeah, people do more than one thing on a weekend.
Oh, that's true.
Yelling at me, I'm just trying to help you out.
No, you're right. I apologize. So my
your poker tournament is 11:30. Starts 11:30 Saturday morning, right?
Yeah, my poker tournament's 11:30 Saturday morning. What time's the fish derby?
Fish derby about 10:30 Saturday morning.
Yeah, so that gives you an hour.
What?
That gives me an hour. An hour of what? You think it takes an hour to do a fishing tournament?
I don't know.
So you're telling me that with an 11:30 poker tournament, I got all the time in the world, man, to go up and be the official at some fishing derby at Lake Castaic at 10:30 in the morning. You two guys, you guys are dumber than you look. You guys are way dumber. You're so dumb that you guys look smarter than you look. That's how far on the dumb scale you are.
Goes all the way over to smart.
Goes all the way over to smart, yeah. Wow. Scientists have found a compound in garlic that is 100 times more effective at fighting a common type of bacteria that causes food poisoning. It's called Campylobacter than two types of antibiotic. Now, are you guys like me? Have you heard throughout your life that garlic is really good for you? Because I started hearing that in my 20s. Back in the 70s, people would say, hey, Phil, wow, have you tried this? And I remember, because I don't mean to be cruel, but I was working with a lady at the time, and she smelled like garlic. I don't know how else to put it. She smelled like garlic. And I found out that, and she was a perfectly nice lady, and she was very, nicely groomed and appointed. There wasn't anything to believe that she didn't brush her teeth or anything like this, but it turns out she took those Kyolic garlic capsules.
Yeah, I seen those.
It's that liquid garlic that you pour into the capsule and you pop it in your mouth. A lot of people would take those. And I realized that I had been doing that for a portion of my life. And I remember thinking, oh, my God, have I been walking through life smelling like this? Because the poor girl, every time she breathed on you, it's like this garlic is coming up from her stomach. And it's just, wow, baby, wow. However, we find out that garlic is a very, very good thing for you. And now we find that garlic fights the bacteria that causes food poisoning. Are you ready for that? It's commonly found on the surface of poultry and inside fish. But if you eat garlic, your ass is...
Your ass won't get sore.
Exactly. World Famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northgraf and Phil Henry. And, of course, each and every day we are online at philhenryshow.com Monday through Friday. I say each and every day. So get yourself a backstage pass and make sure you are with us as well as we go out and fight the big radio wars. philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. We'll see you tonight. Let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.